Pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. I got a phone call from Dr. Weaver Thursday asking me if I teach the auditorium class. Understand, I'm about seventh in line. He can't do it. Brother Gordon Anthony, he's out in San Francisco. Dr. Barber's out of town. Pastor Gillett's up with the youth people. Guess who you got today? Amen? So the only thing worse was about 5 years ago when a young man I had in Bible college called me, and he said, Brother Raisman, he said, I need you to come and speak to my Sunday school class. You're the seventh person I called. So a humbling experience. So you bear with me, auditorium class. Liberty class is pretty well used to me. They're probably all out in the restroom in the hallway. They had a chance to get away from me. But I do consider it a privilege to teach. And open your Bible. And let's don't take that expression for granted, folks. A lot of places don't have a Bible. A lot of places don't have the opportunity to meet together and to learn around the Word of God. I like to hear pages turn. I know you have your iPhones and your telephones and your iPads, whatever all that stuff is, but so you can hide them from me. I know you can play games on it while you do that, all right? My class and some classes are on lessons of faith. I know Pastor's been teaching you, Dr. Weaver, on Revelation. You'll just have to call time out and live with what I'll be teaching you this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, please. Hebrews 11. We'll have a little review here. The word is faith. Chapter 11, the great faith chapter, Holy Spirit moving Paul to write. Verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Amen. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And then he begins a listing of the Hall of Fame. First one we meet is Abel. We know he offered the right kind of sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. By the way, the blood, trace it all the way through the Bible, the blood of Christ. Amen. And then we move to Enoch. It said of Enoch that he walked with God and he was not. Amen. God took him. And then we meet Noah, but let's back up to verse 6, speaking of Enoch. But without faith, all right, you ready, class? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. And my rhetorical question to all of us is, did we do anything last week to please the Lord? To show some faith. Yeah, Brother Rigsby, I wrote a check, and I didn't have money to cover it. That starts with an F. That's called foolishness, not faith. But understand, ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God says if we don't do something by faith, we're not pleasing God. So rhetorically, I ask you, did you please God at all last week? Are you pleasing him? Then we go down through to Noah, Abraham, Sarah, through the Hall of Fame, moving through. And then three messages really at the end of their life. About Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. Then last week we studied about, from going from three death messages, we went to the birth of Moses. And we'll begin in verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By the way, the biggest enemy of faith is fear. And the lesson last week is so important, ladies and gentlemen. It's about the faith of Moses' parents. If that was not there, the verses we're going to read today would not be there. And let me say this by experience, good and bad. I spent 10 years in public school as a teacher and administrator. I spent 10 years, the Lord allowed me to start 2 Christian schools and then a Bible college. I always said to my class, it doesn't really matter where you put your kids in school. That ought to be your choice, by the way. Christian school, homeschool, wherever, public school. Can I tell you this very honestly? It's what you do in the home that counts. And that's what happened in Moses' life, because in the early days, God allowed Amram and Jochebed to have him and to raise him, to teach him the word of God. And that affects all the rest of his life, as we'll see here in the next verses. So that was the lesson. And I look around, I say, you're raising your kids right. Do it right. Set a good example. What a lesson there to learn. Now, we begin to come to this morning. That's all preview, okay? All preview. Here's our verse and lessons today. Verse 24, notice the word faith. All by faith. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Underline the word refuse. We'll come back to these. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25, underline the next word, choosing. Underline choosing. Rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Let me stop there, ladies and gentlemen. We ought to understand, most of us old enough, that the pleasure of sin is for a season. Listening? It looks good. By the way, if sin didn't look good, we wouldn't be sinning, would we? We've got that sin nature. I always remember Dr. Hiles preaching in one of his messages he always preached, Satan only shows half the picture. He'll show, I'm going to age myself a little bit, but I'm among friends, amen? You remember when they used to allow cigarette advertisements on TV? And there comes that Marlboro macho man riding up on a horse and shows that Thunderbird, that picture of the Marlboro macho man. Or high karate. You remember that advertisement? Man, you put that high karate on. I needed that. I tried that one day. The only thing that came around me was dogs. But shows it good. Shows the party. Shows the beer. That's half the picture. The pleasures of sin for a season. Walk with me down Lancaster Street here in Fort Worth. I'll show you the other half of the picture. You understand where I'm going. Only for a season. Verse 26, esteeming, underline that word, please. Esteeming. The reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Verse 27, by faith, underline the next word, he forsook, underline the word forsook, Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he, underline the next word, we'll come back to all these, but just getting the start of it, he endured. There's a great word. He endured. As seeing him who is invisible. There's the faith, isn't it? My first pastor I had, I've told my class this, so you just have to hear it again, class. My pastor I had up in Holland, Michigan. Thank you, Michigander. Buckeyes and Michiganders get along until about November. Then we don't speak to each other. I get a Michigan State guy, a gal over here, and a Michigan there. I'm in the middle of it. Amen? Through faith, he kept, verse 28, he kept, underline the word kept, the Passover, and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Verse 29. By faith, they passed, underline the word passed, through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned. Faith. God's chosen to say more about Moses' faith than any others that he puts here. That ought to tell us something. I said, if I counted right, don't count. That'll give you something to do. About 121 words here in the Word of God telling us about the faith of Moses. Takes him from his birth towards the end of his ministry. Romans 10:17. You say, Brother Risby, how in the world do we get faith? I'm glad you asked. Bible has the answer. So then faith, you listening, cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. I was given two great pieces of advice when I got saved. First piece of advice was, when the doors of the church were open, be there. Why was I to be there? Because this is where the Word of God's preached. And aren't we fortunate here at Worth Baptist Church all these years that our men have been faithful to preach the Word of God and put Christ first. The second piece of advice I got, I always have to remember that too. Don't let what you do know, don't know, hurt what you do know. Are you with me? I don't know where Cain got his wife. I reckon he got him from his mother-in-law. That's where most of us got our wives. I don't know how a brown cow eats green grass and gives white milk, but I sure like milk. Faith. That's why we need to hear the Word of God. You start out as a new Christian, and the man's faithful to preach the Word of God to you. My early days, man, I had it made. I graduated from Ohio University. Now, that's not the big school. I taught 10 years. Man, I had it made. I went back to my hometown. I taught had teachers under me that taught me when I was in kindergarten. How you like that? There you go, brother. I was a good boy. I never got in trouble. I didn't smoke and didn't drink and didn't run around with those that chewed and all that, whatever that poem is. But you know, one day I heard the Word of God that said I was a sinner. And the only way to heaven was through Christ. And that's still the truth today, ladies and gentlemen. There's only one way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not a way. Amen and amen. Take your Bible, and you wouldn't be moving around a little bit, but I want you to go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's a great verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul talks about faith, and faith, we're talking about believing. Believing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, not far to your left. Verse 13. Paul talking to the church at Thessalonica. He says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing." Another time he says, "Pray without ceasing." He says, thank without ceasing. "Because when you receive the word of God," amen, "which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Thank God for the word of God. In February 1965, I had heard the gospel. People were praying for me. I went to revivals. I heard hellfire and damnation. I heard it all. I don't know if I got loved into heaven or scared out of hell, but I got saved because I listened to the Word of God and I believed what I heard. Gerald O. Fleming, Brother King, you know who, Gerald O. Fleming, faithful preacher. He was crazy, but he preached the Word of God. So keep that in mind. Now, we're looking at these verses, and I want to give you one more verse. You have to turn there. But it talks, there's a verse in Psalm 103:7. Listen to what it says. "He," speaking of God, speaking of our Lord and Savior, "he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel." Why did God do that? Because Moses had an intimate relationship with him as he grew and as he was taught the Word of God by his parents, that he knew there was a God, and he knew God had a plan to deliver his people. Acts chapter 7, turn over there, Acts chapter 7, verses 20 and 29. We're going to get another account of Moses here. Stephen is preaching. Stephen is a deacon. Deacons preach, amen, one-on-one, but he was preaching, and because of the message, he's martyred. But listen to what he says, Acts chapter 7, verses 20 to 29, as he traces the history of Israel. Bible says, "In which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds." Excuse me. "And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart." By the way, I always said God gives you something in your heart before he gives it to you in your hand. That's called faith. to visit his brethren, the children of Israel, and seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian, for he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. The next day he showed himself unto them as they strove and would have set them at one again, saying, sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. Somebody has said the life of Moses is in three 40-year periods. The first 40 years, he learned the ways of Egypt and the world. The second 40 years, he spent on the backside of the desert unlearning what he had been taught. And the last 40 years of his life, he spent serving the Lord and delivering his people. I'm often asking, I don't know if I have all the answers to it. How do you find, somebody said success is finding the will of God and doing it. Let me say it again. Success is finding the will of God and doing it. How do you find the will of God, Brother Rigsby? I say just get busy for the Lord and he'll find you. I don't know God, from my experience over the years, I don't know that God ever called an idle person. But Moses began to work, and God began to work on him, and God used him, and he found the will of God in the backside of the desert. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. You've heard that one. Now, I want you to go back to the words in our scripture this morning that I ask you to underline. We're simply going to look at seven things that faith does. Seven things that faith does, and we have it right here in the scripture. Notice, please, Hebrews 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, what's that word I had to underline? Refused. Amen. Underline, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. What are we talking about here? He was in the world. But I'm glad the world didn't get into him. He saw the life of Egypt. He saw the life of the world. My class will tell you, I often say, Christians, we're in the same boat. If I can make an analogy here, an application here, we ought to be square bolt and a round hole, or round hole, however you want to say it. We don't fit in the world. I leave my house on Sunday morning. First thing I go by is a winery. I hope I don't see any of you there. More important, I hope you don't see me there. We travel a little further and we go by baseball fields where kids are playing baseball. We see a lot of the world. We're not there. We're coming to church. Amen. We're coming to hear the word of God. We're coming to obey the word of God. Let's refuse the world and what it has to offer. And Moses, by faith, refused. Second thing faith does. Next word I gave you. Verse 25. Faith chooses. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God and to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I'm 73 years old. I know I don't look it. I tell waitresses and restaurants that I used to have red hair. And they don't believe me and have shown my freckles. But, Brother Tim, finally, at our age, we finally figure it all out just about. About time we figure it out, hello, we're gone. But life is pretty simple. Life is simply making choices. Are you with me? God did not make us robots. God didn't make you get up out of bed today and come to church. That's not the way God operates. God gives us, we have a right, ladies and gentlemen, to make choices. I tell this to teenagers all the time. But here's the rub. We have a right to make choices, but we don't have the right to choose the consequences of our choices. And I'm happy that you chose, even though you didn't know Brother Rigsby was going to be up here, to come to church today, because you're looking forward at least to the church service today. Choices. Choices. And many people I know today because of choices, wrong choices they made early in life, they're still paying for it. Let's make right choices. Faith will allow us to make right choices. Next word. Faith endures. Verse 27. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he what class? He endured as seeing him who is invincible. I know the class I'm teaching. We're the older ones, some of you. Amen? Let me tell you some older folks. You're a blessing to me that you've stayed by the stuff. I go back to some old churches I've been to, and I see the older folks kind of got the snow on the head, and they've been faithful. I'm telling you, just being there. I like the old gal. She couldn't hear the thunder. She could hardly talk. She could hardly see. She came to church. Somebody said, well, you can't talk. You can't hear. You can't see. Why are you at church? She said, I just want people to know whose side I'm on. Faith endures, ladies and gentlemen. And speaking of endurance, if you're still there in Hebrews chapter 11, go to chapter 12, please, talking about enduring. By the way, Jesus always sets the right example. Verse 2, speaking of our faith, chapter 12. Looking unto Jesus, what is faith? The object of our faith is Jesus. That's our goal, amen? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our what? Faith. Who for the joy, it took me a while to realize why in the world was this joy to the Lord to go to the cross. Who for the joy that was set before him, what's our next word? He endured. Aren't you happy about? He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Why was it joy? Because he saw past the cross. And he saw you and me and others in here. The day that we received him and understood the way to heaven was through Christ and the shed blood and on the cross. Very important. Faith endures. I'm going to back up a little bit. I skipped two, but that's a good teacher that does that, okay? Faith esteems. Go back to verse 26. He got a taste of the world. He saw all of Egypt and its finery and all that. Bible says, esteeming the reproach of Christ. The word esteem is a very interesting word, not hard to understand. Esteem means to hold in high value. And I could rhetorically ask you a question today. What do you hold in high value? That which is on your lap, I hope, is, Job said, I esteem what? The words of his mouth more than my what? Necessary food. Holding something high. And when he saw what God had to offer and he saw what Egypt had to offer, it was no contest. He said, I esteem the reproach of Christ. Knowing the name of Christ, I do that. I'm not going to sing this. I always say that all the dogs in Tarrant County would be howling. A poem was written in 1922 by the name of a lady by the name of R.H.A. Miller. 10 years later, the mother of George Beverly Shea found a copy of that poem. She set it on the organ that George Beverly Shea practiced on at home. It was a Saturday night. What was going on? George Beverly Shea was having a battle. What was the battle? He had a chance to sign a contract, I think, with NBC and go to a national broadcasting company and have a good job in the music area. But one of the problems was they didn't want him to sing gospel songs. Do you see the battle? So she sat that poem, and he sat down, and he wrote the music to the poem. Other than how great thou art, George Beverly Shea made a right decision, by the way, because he esteemed the cause of Christ higher than anything. other than how great they are, this was his second favorite song because it came to him at this difficult hour. And here's what he said. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hands than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Amen. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name. Esteeming the cause of Christ, holding the word of God, holding God's calling. And do you see the rest of the story, how God blessed him? He ran into another young man by the name of Billy Graham. Now, I know some of you don't have a good taste of Billy Graham, and I know he's going ecumenical here. I know that, but I know my wife was saved listening when Billy was faithful to preach the gospel. But God hooked him up, and he preached to millions, and he sang to millions. Esteeming. That is what faith will do. It will esteem. Next word is forsake, and we've given you that one. Two more words, and we'll go to the house. Faith keeps. Faith keeps. What did he do? He kept the Passover. You remember the story. Let my people go. And had all the plagues, and we're skipping a lot of territory here. And I understand all the plagues that God used was against all the gods of Egypt. By the way, my God's greater than anybody else's God. Amen. To do it. And God said, finally, he said, you know, I'm going to pass over the land of Egypt. I'm paraphrasing. And the firstborn of every household will be killed. And he said, when I pass over, here's what you need to do. You take the blood and you put it on the doorposts and the lintel. And when I pass over, we sing that other song, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. He kept the Passover. It's going all through you. But can I ask you this? Are you under the blood? I don't know if we have any visitors this morning. But can I tell you this? If you're not under the blood, you're not saved. I didn't say under the water. I didn't say under your good works. I didn't say under church membership. Are you under the blood? Brother Risby, you sound like a slaughterhouse. Yeah, I am. Because I believe in the blood, and by the blood, by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Faith keeps. Faith keeps. One last word I had you underline. Notice, please, in verse 29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do or drown. Go to Exodus 14. Kind of skip around life of Moses, but we'll get there and understand. Exodus 14, what a great story. They're getting ready to go out. Finally, Pharaoh said, I'm going to let you go. Verse 17 of chapter 13, by way of passing. Verse 17, chapter 13 of Exodus. Bible says, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the ways of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. Can I put a little punctuation mark here? God doesn't always lead the easy way, ladies and gentlemen. God doesn't always lead the way we think he ought to lead. God knows the way through the wilderness, we sing. Amen. Why did he do that? For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. Verse 18, but God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And here they go. Faith passes. God takes them, I'm going to call it the impossible situation. You ever been there? a body of water in front of them, two side cliffs and wilderness, and lo and behold, the only way out, they see some dust. Pharaoh changed his mind pretty quick, didn't he? They're trapped. By the way, the people didn't always follow Moses. A lot of time they were fussing about him. Probably were Baptists, amen. Possible situation. I remember the story about Lone Ranger and Tonto. We even learned about them up in Yankee Land. Lone Ranger and Tonto were out riding one day, and they come, and all of a sudden Lone Ranger looks up, surrounded by thousands and thousands of Indians. Lone Ranger said to Tonto, "We are in trouble." And Tonto looks at him and smiles and says, "What you mean, we, Kemosabe?" I don't know what Kemosabe means. Possible situation. If you've not been there, you're going to get there one of these days. Most of you have lived long enough to know what I'm talking about here. We're talking about faith. What do we do? Look at the beautiful verse 14. Here's the leader. Here's Moses. Here's his faith. By the way, I said the biggest enemy of faith is fear. Look what he says. "And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not." Number one. Get rid of fear. Faith. "Fear ye not. Stand still." That's hard for me to do. That's my nature. I just want to do it and fix it and do it all that. "Fear not. Stand still." What are we going to do here, Moses? "And see the salvation." One pastor I had said, "Faith is believing it so, before it so, in order for it to be so." And they're fixing, that's a good southern expression, they're fixing to see it. "And see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." I like verse 14, amen. "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." All they had to do is stand still. Fear not. See the salvation of the Lord. Ever been in an impossible situation? There's some good advice. By faith, they passed. Hudson Taylor, who started the China Inland Mission, before he ever went to China, I think Brother Peebles, you knew this one, he began to live on the diet, began to live in a little hut in preparation to get to the mission field. God used him mightily, a man of faith. He said, there are three phases in most great tasks undertaken for God. Impossible, difficult, done. Amen? Impossible, difficult, done. By faith. I'll close with this little poem talking about the impossible situation. Annie Johnson Flynn, I don't know much about her, but she's a good poet. She knew the Word of God, and here's what she wrote. Think about it when you come to the impossible situation. Have you come to the Red Sea place in your life where in spite of all you can do, there's no way out, there's no way back, there's no other way but through? Then wait on the Lord with a trust serene till the night of your fear is gone. He will send the wind, he will heap the floods when he says to your soul, go on. And his hand will lead you through, clear through, ere the watery walls roll down. No foe can reach you, no wave can touch, no mightiest sea can drown. The tossing billows may rear their crests, their foam at your feet may break, but over their bed ye shall walk dry shod in the path that your Lord will make. In the morning watch, neath the lifted cloud, you shall see but the Lord alone, when he leads you on from the place of the sea to a land that you have not known. And your fears shall pass as your foes have passed. You shall no more be afraid. You shall sing his praise in a better place, a place his hand has made. Thank God that faith allows us to pass through.